Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. We invite you to our website at ebiblefellowship.org for additional Bible studies. And now, with his study in the book of Romans, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of Romans. Tonight is study number 35 of Romans chapter 1, and we're beginning to read in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In our last study, we were looking at verse 18 and the word revealed, which is closely related to the word revelation. And we saw how in Judgment Day, the time we're living in, and that's why we're so sensitive to this and are able to see this so clearly, that in fact, God has revealed wrath in his word. He has opened up the scriptures to the eyes of his people, to their understanding, so that they can see the wrath of God that has come upon the world, beginning on the date of May 21, 2011, and continuing till now. And according to everything we're reading, will continue for several years more. And this has come down from heaven. From heaven. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. We talked about those two words a couple of studies ago, I think, or at least mentioned them. Ungodliness really has to do with that which does not worship. That is, man created in the image of God was created to worship God, to glorify God, to serve God. But he does none of those things. He will not worship God. Therefore, he's an ungodly man. Where someone who would be a true man, who would be a man that would be considered right and good, and of course, the only way that's possible is if God has made that person that way by transforming them, changing their heart, taking out that evil heart of unbelief and giving them a new heart and spirit. And then they become like Noah, perfect and just, a man upright like Job and so forth. Well, God has transformed certain ones out of the human race and made them godly. Now they're saints because their sins have been dealt with. They've been purified as Christ has made payment for all their sin. In God's sight, they have purifying white linen as a covering. But the rest of the people are ungodly, wicked, evil, transgressors of the law. And that's really what unrighteousness means. The best definition would be 1 John 5:17, where it says, all unrighteousness is sin. And there the link is made between unrighteousness and sin. And of course, that is probably the one thing that accurately characterizes all people and all those that are ungodly and opposed to the God of the Bible is their sin. They love their sin. They prefer their sin. They're completely wrapped up in it, as we see every day living in this world. Well, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Let's go to Matthew 21, and I'll read verses 25 through 27. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reason with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. And here we can clearly see that heaven is being used as a synonym for God. The two choices here are from heaven or from men. From men we understand, comes out of the minds of men. But the baptism of John, which would be a teaching, a doctrine, it certainly did not come from a place, a heaven, which is a spiritual place, but it's a place nonetheless, at least that's the only way I can think to describe it. It's where God dwells in the spiritual realm. It really represents his kingdom, and yet a kingdom is nothing without a king upon the throne. God is the king upon the throne who establishes the law of the kingdom, and he sends down his law from heaven to the earth. That's what the Bible is. And so when a man like John the Baptist receives word from above, from heaven, he's getting it from God. He's not getting it from an angelic being, or certainly not just an empty spiritual city. He's getting it from the one upon the throne of that city. And that's why here it's used again as a synonym to represent God. Really, Jesus is asking these Jews, the baptism of John, whence was it? From God or of men? And so there's their dilemma. Also, we know in John chapter 3, John 3, it says in verse 27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. And once again, heaven is not a being. It cannot give spiritual gifts. It cannot produce anything to give to men. Only God can do that. And so it's being used here to refer to God, and so too in Romans 1 and 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven or from God against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And again, there's a whole spectrum of unrighteousness, and unrighteousness has to do with lying, stealing, being deceitful, and like a false witness, someone who is transgressing the law. Transgressing the law. Well, here, God is saying of men in general, thereby representing mankind, which includes everyone, all human beings in our natural state, in our fallen condition, hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, first thing we want to define is the truth. And, you know, Pilate had no idea what the truth is when he said to Jesus, what is truth? The people of the world have no understanding of the truth. If you ask them, what is the truth? They might think, well, it's when you're not lying. You're telling the actual events. Well, yeah, that's telling the truth in certain situations, but there is a greater truth. The truth, as defined by the Bible, is the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read in John 14, in verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the essence of truth. He is the truth. As far as salvation is concerned, as far as God is concerned, as far as the truth of what the world would consider to be religion is concerned. And there's a good area to kind of observe where we can see how the world does not know the truth. Just look at the world's religions, and there's many of them that contradict. They go against one another. One religion will say, this is God. This is what God is like and what you have to do to please God. And another religion will change some things, maybe have some things the same, and a third and a fourth and a fifth. And you end up with a God who would do one thing in one religion and would never do that same thing in another religion. And they can't both be true. And then we, of course, have Christianity that is a revealed religion, or it's a religion based on the revelation of God of the Bible as he has revealed himself. And even within that religion, which at least we can say is set apart from all others in that it has the right source material, it has the right document, it has the right authority for truth, at least, again, starting out the Bible. And that's the problem with all the other religions out there in the world. They may believe a part of the Bible, like the Jewish religion would hold on to the Old Testament. The Muslims may also say they believe parts of the Bible. And most religions, they would just say, well, the Bible's another holy book, we have our own religion and it's completely separate. But no matter, we can know that the truth of God can only be found within the religion of Christianity and in no other religion because of the things the Bible says. As we just read in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. And that means those without Jesus as Savior, as God in the flesh, they do not have the truth, nor do they have the life. They have no salvation. But then once we limit it, or once God has limited the truth to Christianity, then within Christianity, we find the same turmoil that was present when we looked at all the religions. We find this Christian religion saying one thing about God, and another Christian church saying another thing about God, and a third, and a fourth, and a fifth, and they contradict, they're opposed, one against the other, and we realize out of these 10, at least 9 are lying, and it could be all 10 regarding the one thing they're saying. And oftentimes it is all 10. So then God further refines the truth, and as we've entered into the end stage of Earth's history, he has refined it more and more. This is all part of his judgment program, of his testing program of those who profess to be his people, claim to be Christian, where God has used his word, the truth of the word. And as it says in John 17, verse 17, and this verse goes hand in hand with John 14:6 and Jesus' declaration as the truth. It says in John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And no, that doesn't counter or mean that Jesus is wrong when he said he is the truth, because we know from the same Bible, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. The Lord Jesus is completely identified with the Word of God, the Bible. What is true of Christ is true of the Word. And so that's how we know if we have the truth that is Christ, when we have the truth that is the Word of God, the Bible. And so at this time of the end, God has opened the Scriptures in order to confound and to destroy the wisdom of the wise, the wisdom, no, not of scribes and Pharisees so much. He already did that in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, he's confounded and destroyed the wisdom of theologians and the wisdom of bishops and popes and priests and pastors and elders and deacons who have set up confessions and creeds and established these doctrines of men, traditions of their church, and placed them high above the Bible, where they will not dare, to go against what their particular renowned church father has taught centuries ago. And yet they do not have the same respect, the same regard for the holy Word of God, the Bible, and the things that God has said in His Word. When God opens up His Word, as He has done at the time of the end that we're presently living in, and the Word has revealed through the comparison of Scripture, and in that way the Holy Ghost teaches that this is actually the true doctrine, and what your church, your denomination, the entire corporate body, if it comes to that, has held to for centuries, as you have made it into an idol by placing it in your confession and creed, it into a high place, is wrong. And now you must bow the knee, you must humble yourselves before the Lord Jesus, the truth, before the truth of the Word of God, the Bible, submit to it and recognize the true way that God saves is through the faith of Christ and not faith in Him. It's not man's doing, it's God's doing. And what do you say? They refuse. Or when God revealed that hell is not a place of eternal torment, but rather it is the grave, and His final judgment upon mankind will be to destroy them forevermore, to annihilate them. And the Bible has revealed this. What do they say? We will not change our teaching. Or when God has revealed that Christ made payment for sin at the foundation of the world and not on the cross, they refuse to accept it. Or when God has revealed the truth of baptism, that it's the washing away of sin, and that water baptism has no real power. It has no power whatsoever to save or to cleanse from sin. It cannot do anything in that way. There are some churches that refuse it, and other churches refuse the truth of the Lord's Supper, that it's a ceremonial law just pointing to a truth and conveys and imparts no actual grace to those that partake. No, they'll stick to their mysterious language. The Reformed churches, they want to trust that their partaking of the Lord's Supper will somehow convey spiritual grace to them, or and they never will define it. They don't want to define it. They will not bow the knee on that point either. Nor will they bow the knee concerning Sunday the Sabbath and just on and on and on, or marriage and divorces. The Westminster Confession of Faith has within it an allowance in the case of adultery for divorce, and that has, of course, been exploited and expanded at the time of the end by the apostate church to allow divorce and remarriage for any reason whatsoever. they will not bow the knee. And in all these things, the churches are suppressing the truth, and they're doing what God says here. Their theologians like to read this passage and to sort of look out there at the world, to look at the natural man. And it does have some application, and we'll talk about that, that God has a witness of a sort apart from his divine word, apart from the scriptures. And we'll get into that. We'll talk about that. But first of all, there is the wrath of God revealed from heaven, from God himself, that the word of God reveals against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And we see, for example, in 1 Timothy 4, and here those in the churches or professed Christians can't point the finger at somebody else. It can only be pointed at the church itself. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." You see, they're speaking lies in hypocrisy, and their conscience is seared with a hot iron. And see, it's even more horrible, and this is why judgment began at the house of God. It's why God started the entire final judgment program with those that are called by his name first, because they were entrusted with his word. So not only did these people who entered into the churches and congregations of the world have the witness of creation, which they would almost immediately point to as concerning this passage. Yes, they have the witness of creation, and we'll look at that. And in addition, they have the witness of the law written upon their hearts, which gives man a conscience. And we'll look at that. And we just saw God was speaking of those within the churches. And they might like to look out at the world today and see all the desperate wickedness out there and say, oh, their conscience is seared with a hot iron because, men marry men and women marry women, or abortion. And yet in 1 Timothy 4, God is speaking of those who hold doctrine in hypocrisy, speaking lies, doctrinal lies. Their conscience is seared with a hot iron. It is those that have taken to themselves the name of Christ and have dared to take the word of God in their mouths and to teach it, but they're not teaching it in a right way. And so God really has some of the harshest language in the Bible directed against the hypocrite, the one who professes Christ and salvation, professes to know the truth, and yet he's just like his neighbor out in the world who is in an unsaved, unregenerate condition. There's no difference except he's added to his sins, and that's why God gave more stripes to those that are called by his name than those that are out in the world. And so they had the witness of God, of the truth that there is a God from creation. They had the witness of God concerning his law written upon their heart. And they then received the witness of God, the divine revelation of the Holy Bible. And just as the people out in the world tend to suppress the truth of creation and deny it and say, oh, there is no God, there has been no creation. No, there was a big bang. That's where we all came from. And then there's been evolution. And that's how we got here. And they suppress the truth in that area. And that leads to, of course, suppressing the conscience because they begin to develop their own morality. Well, not only have those who say they're Christian, maybe they haven't done that, but they have suppressed a much more finely detailed revelation than has been given through the sun, moon, and stars, through the witness of the creation itself. This is the witness of God written down in volume after volume in 66 books of the Bible. And it is all laid out for the reader. And yet you find these men, these unregenerate men, suppress these doctrines, these teachings, and hold them back, holding on to their man-made doctrines and gospels and beliefs, and they're quite content to do this. Well, this is why the wrath of God comes down and is revealed from heaven against these things and against these people who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Lord willing, in our next Bible study, we'll look at the word hold at a couple of places, and just to get a better understanding. And then we'll go on to see what else God has to say here in these verses of Romans chapter 1.
You've been listening to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. Visit our website at ebiblefellowship.org for additional studies. Until next time, may the Lord's perfect will be done.